And down he goes. Strikeout number 13 for Kershaw.
Don't miss a moment of Dodger coverage.
Right here on your home of the World Series champion Dodgers.
This is Morongo Casino, Dodgers on deck.
Dodgers and Rockies wrap up this three-game series. The rubber game coming up at 1:10. Pitching matchup presented by your Southern California Toyota dealers. Head to Toyota's We Make It Easy sales event. You'll find great ways to save on a new Toyota. Visit buyatoyota.com or see your dealer for all offers. They make it easy. It's the Battle of the Grays. Josiah Gray and John Gray. First pitch coming up at 1:10. But before that, an honorary ceremony for the 1981 World Championship team. It was so great, Dave. David Vasse live at Dodger Stadium with the Words Eye View. Dave, it was great to hear from Bill Russell just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, it was, and it was great to catch up with him. He, like you heard during the interview, was the glue that infield up the middle with Davey Lopes and Say and Garvey at the corners, and we are going to have a very special video tribute to the 1981 World Championship team narrated by Vin Scully. And earlier this morning, there was a breakfast, and Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner hosted it. They told stories. Steve Garvey got up there. Rick Monday told some stories, and former Dodger owner Peter O'Malley also was at the breakfast and said some words to the former players, the former staff members. So just a real privilege to be invited to that breakfast in the Stadium Club and to be among those men that finally got over the hump and beat the New York Yankees. And the majority of that team is in the Dodger home dugout right now with their Dodger jerseys on, with their names on the back. And they will be introduced during this ceremony, which you will hear live right here on the World Champion Dodgers Audio Network momentarily. And Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner, Charlie will be hosting that and doing the introductions during this ceremony. And like I said, there'll be a video tribute narrated by Vin Scully that you will hear coming up here shortly. And in case you don't know the history of the 1981 World Champion Dodgers, they had lost to the Yankees in the World Series in 1977 and 1978. They came back in 1980 in a one-game playoff that they lost to the Houston Astros, so more heartache. But in the 1981 strike-shortened season, they won the first half of that 1981 season. The Houston Astros won the second half, and they played in a three-game series that the Dodgers won, and then they would go on to beat the Expos and finally go on to beat the Yankees in six games. And here is Todd Leitz and the Vin Scully video tribute.
The story of the 2020 World Series won by the Dodgers is a familiar saga in the annals of the team's storied history. Many members of the roster that had won eight consecutive National League West titles had also been with the team that came up short in the 2017 and 2018 World Series. But they never gave up.
The Dodgers are the champions of 2020.
From 1947 to 1953, the Brooklyn Dodgers faced the New York Yankees in the World Series four times and lost them all.
Bauer scores with a winning run to give the New York Yankees the World Series.
All-time greats like Pee Wee Reese, Duke Snyder, Gil Hodges, and Jackie Robinson were members of all of those teams. And in 1955, they finally defeated the Yankees to earn the team's first World Series championship.
And these Dodgers at last are world champions.
They, too, never gave up. All of which brings us to the team that is celebrating the 40th anniversary of their title, the 1981 Los Angeles Dodgers. During the decade of the 70s, the Dodgers went to the World Series three times, losing in 1974 to the Oakland A's, and in 1977 and 78 to their old nemesis, the New York Yankees. Much like the 1955 and 2020 teams, the 1981 Dodgers were comprised of players who had been through the battles, and they too faced unprecedented obstacles and multiple instances of their season being on the brink. And they too never gave up. The magic of the 1981 season would begin on opening day. The lineup included players who would take their place among franchise greats. The legendary infield of Steve Garvey, Davey Lopes, Bill Russell, and Ron Say. In the outfield, Dusty Baker was beginning his sixth season as a Dodger. Compton High School graduate Ken Landreau was beginning his first season with the team, and Pedro Guerrero was getting his first opening day start. Also getting their first opening day starts was the battery of Mike Socia and a rookie who would ignite the fan base named Fernando Valenzuela. He pitched a complete game shutout that day, the first of eight consecutive complete game victories that also included five shutouts. It was remarkable. By the end of May, the team was an impressive 18 games over 500. The hot start to the season would be key because a 50-game work stoppage due to a strike by the players' union would force Major League Baseball to create a postseason format unlike any in its history. Baseball awarded postseason spots to the teams with the best records for the first half of the season and the second half of the season. So when play stopped on June 12th, the Dodgers held a one-game lead on the Cincinnati Reds and were therefore named first half champions of the National League West. The 81 postseason would begin with a best-of-five-game series against the National League West's second-half division champs, the Houston Astros. After losing the first two games of the series at the Astrodome, the Dodgers faced three consecutive elimination games at Dodger Stadium. In Game 3, right-hander Bert Hooton would combine with Steve Howe and Bob Welsh to throw a three-hitter and keep the season going. In Game 4, Pedro Guerrero's fifth-inning home run broke a scoreless tie, and Fernando would pitch a complete game, 2-1 victory that evened the series. In the decisive Game 5, Jerry Royce would outduel Nolan Ryan, pitching a complete game shutout to secure the series. They never gave up.
He's walking away. He didn't know he fouled it. Socia might have to throw to first base to Garvey.
The 1981 National League Championship Series would see the Dodgers square off against the Montreal Expos in another best-of-five series. After splitting the first two games in L.A., the Dodgers would face two consecutive elimination games north of the border. Once again, the trio of Hooton, Welsh, and Howe would pitch a gem of a game, allowing only one run. Meanwhile, Dusty Baker and Steve Garvey combined to drive in five to help even the series with a 7-1 victory. The fifth and deciding game of the 1981 NLCS was a chilly affair. The starting pitchers were Fernando and the Expos' Ray Burris. Both were being extremely stingy. The Dodgers' hero that day would be a player who experienced the World Series defeats of 77 and 78, Rick Monday. Rick singled, scored the Dodgers' only run of the game in the top of the fifth. In the top of the ninth, with the score even at one, Rick faced the formidable Steve Rogers and hit one of the most important home runs in the team's history.
There's a high drive in
into deep center field. Back goes Dawson to the track, to the wall. It's gone. The Dodgers lead 2-1.
I think from an emphasis of the most important hit I ever had, because it's a tie game, it's in the top of the ninth inning. The Yankees had already clinched the American League title. We play on Monday afternoon, and the World Series begins on Tuesday night in New York against the Yankees. So the Expos had a plane at the airport. We had the Dodger plane at the airport. Ours took off, theirs was canceled.
A ground ball hits slowly to Davey Lopes. He throws to Garvey. The Dodgers win the National League pennant.
Now the Dodgers would then face the team that defeated them in the 1977 and 78 World Series, their longtime pinstripe rivals from the Bronx. In 1978, the Dodgers won the first two games of the series, only to lose the next four to the Yanks. Fortunately, the opposite occurred in 1981. The series started in New York, and L.A. flew home down 2-0. But back at Dodger Stadium for Game 3, momentum shifted after Ron Say hit a 3-run home run in the top of the first that would give the team their first lead of the series. With help from Pedro Guerrero and Mike Socia and a complete game from Fernando, the Dodgers began to flip the script. In Game 4, the Dodgers were down 4-0 early, but they kept battling back. And in the sixth inning, Jay Johnstone's pinch hit 2-run home run and a single by Bill Russell tied the game at 6. Two more runs in the bottom of the seventh would be enough to hold on and even the series. Fans at Dodger Stadium for Game 5 witnessed a masterful complete game victory from Jerry Royce, who was supported by back-to-back home runs by Pedro Guerrero and Steve Yeager. The Dodgers would return to New York needing just one more win. Former Dodger Tommy John would start the Game 6 for the Yankees, and he held the team to just one run through the first four innings. But in the bottom of the fourth, Yankee manager decided to pinch hit for Tommy John, and the pitchers who followed him couldn't stop the Dodgers from putting 7 runs on the board during the next two innings. Ron Say went 2-for-3 despite suffering a concussion in Game 5 of the series. Pedro Guerrero hit his 4th home run of the postseason. Steve Yeager was behind the plate to manage terrific performances by Hooten and Howe. And when the kid from Compton, Kenny Landro, caught the final out of the game, Dodger manager Tommy Lasorda would run onto the field to celebrate his first World Series championship as the Dodgers manager. You'd be hard-pressed to find a better example of perseverance than Tommy, and the impact of his will to win was undoubtedly one of the reasons that the 1981 Dodgers never gave up.
That's a great victory. This is something that has escaped us for a long time, and we wanted that championship so bad. I want to thank all the Dodger organization, everyone who played such a vital role in this victory. What a tremendous win.
Now, fans, to host today's pregame ceremony is the National Radio Hall of Famer in his 17th season calling play-by-play for the Dodgers on AM 570. Dodger broadcaster, Charlie Steiner.
Thank you, Todd. Welcome upstairs into the radio booth and inside the Vin Scully press box. Now it's time to meet, honor, and celebrate the 1981 World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers. Let's begin with a member of the family who brought the Dodgers to Los Angeles. 1981 would be his first championship as owner and president of the team. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter O'Malley. In 1981, he was the president of public relations. He would later become general manager of the Dodgers and a key in putting together their 1988 championship. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Claire. Now to the players. He was one of the toughest outs of his generation. He played for 20 seasons for the Giants, Pirates, Expos, and the Dodgers. When he retired as a player at the age of 44, with a lifetime average of 304, he had more pinch hits than any player in history. A member of the Dodger organization for 53 years. Number 11, Manny Mota. He was born in New York, and this young man headed west, the Golden West. Then Cal State Long Beach. With the 81 Dodgers, he coached Steve Howe, Alejandro Pena, Dave Stewart, Terry Forster, and Ted Power, among others, out of the bullpen. He spent 25 seasons working on the staffs of Walter Alston, Tommy Lasorda, and Bill Russell. Number 58, Mark Cressy. Born and raised in Kentucky. First-round draft choice in 1975. He played in 9 games for the World Series champions in 81. Outfielder number 22, Mark Bradley. While he wasn't on the postseason roster 40 years ago, he would have an impressive postseason pedigree in his 15-year big league career with the Dodgers in 1983 and 1985. Later with the Giants and the 1992 World Champion Toronto Blue Jays. He played in more than 1,400 games. The Candyman could, number 47, Candy Maldonado. He was a rookie outfielder in 1981, born in Covina, played at UCLA, had an 8-year big league career with 6 different teams. Later, he managed the Red Sox and the Brewers. Now back with the Dodgers as a special assistant to the general manager, from rags to riches, number 50, Ron Renicki. This former shortstop played for the Expos, Braves, and Rangers before capping off his 9-year career with the Dodgers. He made 6 straight starts in late May and early June 1981, went 5-for-19, and helped the club win the first half of that strike-shortened season by a half a game over the Cincinnati Reds. Number 36, Pepe Frias. He was a rookie in 1981, the first year of a 15-year big league career. In 1984, when he was a starter, he had the lowest earned run average in the National League at .248. He was the winner of Game 1 of the 88 World Series, the Kirk Gibson game, and went on to become an elite closer with the Atlanta Braves, number 26, Alejandro Pena. This right-handed reliever out of Washington State made his major league debut exactly 1 year to the day after signing his first contract. In the World Series against the Yankees, he didn't give up an earned run. He would have a 10-year big league career with stops in Baltimore, Seattle, and St. Louis. Along the way, the always thirsty, number 49, Tom Niedenfuhr. Promoted from AA San Antonio in August of 1981 when he was 21, and it was a very good year. When he turned 22, it got even better. He was the National League Rookie of the Year, a catalyst as a leadoff hitter and stolen base threat, reaching the postseason in 4 of his 8 years with the Dodgers, and also a World Series champion in 1988. A career .281 hitter in 14 big league seasons, here's Saxy, number 52, Steve Sachs. There was no place like home for this Dorsey High School graduate who played 15 seasons in the majors, including 5 with the Dodgers from 1979 through 1983. In 1981, he was the ultimate utility man, playing every position but pitcher, catcher, and first base. He was Chris Taylor 9 years before Chris Taylor was born. He wore the same number as Maury Wills, his idol growing up. Number 30, Darryl Thomas. When he was 5 years old, he would watch the Dodger games at the Coliseum, dreaming of playing for his hometown team someday. From Dominguez High School to Arizona State, he broke in with the Angels in 1977. In 1980, while with the Twins, he had a 31-game hitting streak. The following spring, he would be traded to the Dodgers. And in the fall, he would make the catch in center field to record the final out in the 6th and final game at Yankee Stadium. Number 44, Ken Landro. Nicknamed Big Bird, he had a 22-year Major League career, won 220 games. In 1981, he went 10-4 with a 2.29 ERA. In the 5th game of the World Series, he went the distance, outdueled Ron Guidry 2-1, sending the Dodgers back to New York, a win away from winning the series. Number 41, Jerry Royce. He was traded to the Dodgers from the Cubs in 1975 and spent the next 10 seasons with the Dodgers. He was the winning pitcher in the 81 All-Star game played here at Dodger Stadium, was the MVP of the NLCS, and the winning pitcher in the 6th and final game of the World Series at Yankee Stadium. Is everybody happy? Number 46, Bert Hooten. Our next Dodger legend's career spanned 15 seasons. Tough as nails behind the plate. An exceptional catcher with a powerful throwing arm. Perhaps best remembered for breaking a 1-1 tie in Game 5 of the series in the 6th inning with a home run off Ron Guidry. That would be the game-winning run. He was the right stuff, just like his cousin, Chuck Yeager. Number 7, Steve Yeager. He was traded from Cleveland when he was just 17. He spent 6 years honing his skills in the minors, but came of age in 1981. In the World Series, he hit .333 with 2 home runs and 7 RBIs. This 5-time All-Star became the Dodgers' predominant power hitter of the 80s. He also became the first L.A. Dodger with at least 30 home runs and 20 stolen bases in consecutive seasons. A 15-year big leaguer, number 28, Pedro Guerrero. He was a 6-time All-Star third baseman, one of baseball's historic Fab Four of infielders, and one of the 4 Dodgers with at least 30 home runs, along with Dusty Baker, Reggie Smith, and Steve Garvey in 1977. In the 81 series, despite being beamed by Goose Gossage in the 5th game, he went 7-for-20, hit .350 with a home run and 6 RBIs. One of the 3 World Series MVPs that year, here's the Penguin, number 10, Ron Say. In his 18-year Major League career, he played every one of his 2,181 games with the Dodgers. A 3-time All-Star who played in 4 World Series, a rock-solid shortstop who anchored that Dodger infield from 1969 through 1986, number 18, Bill Russell. For 8.5 years at the receiving end of Russell's throws from short, He was a 10-time All-Star, a 4-time Gold Glove winning first baseman, who began his Dodgers career as a bat boy in Vero Beach. Between 1975 and 1983, he played in 1,207 consecutive games. In 19 seasons, he hit 272 home runs, had a lifetime batting average of .294. Number 6, Steve Garvey. He made his Dodger debut in 1980 with 10 appearances out of the bullpen. But on opening day 1981, after Jerry Royce was injured just 24 hours earlier, he shut out the Astros in his first major league start. He won his first 8 decisions, 5 by shutout, with an earned run average of .50. Thus, Fernando Mania was born. After the Dodgers lost the first 2 games to the Yankees in 81, he went the distance in Game 3, resetting the course of the World Series. A Cy Young Award winner, Rookie of the Year, 6-time All-Star, Gold Glove winner, 2-time Silver Slugger Award winner, and World Series champion, now and forever a Los Angeles icon, number 34, Fernando Valenzuela. Finally, he grew up in Santa Monica. As a Dodger fan, went to games at the Coliseum. After going to Arizona State, he was part of the College World Series Championship team in 1965. He was the first player ever selected in the amateur player draft. There have been 75,000 players selected after him. Drafted by the A's, traded to the Cubs, and it was here at Dodger Stadium, while a Cub, he made the great play in 1976, keeping the American flag from being burned by 2 men. A year later, he was traded to the Dodgers. In 1981, he hit one of the most consequential fist-pumping home runs in franchise history in the 9th inning of Game 5 of the NLCS against Steve Rogers and the Expos. He played 19 seasons, his final 8 with the Dodgers. He has been a broadcaster with the club for the past 28 years, and over the past 17 seasons, I have been proud to be his partner. Number 16, Rick Monday.
Thank you, everyone. We would be remiss if we did not take a moment to acknowledge the members of the 1981 World Championship team who are no longer with us. Each played a very impactful role in the success of this team in bringing the championship to Los Angeles, and we are grateful to each and every one of them. On the screen, the Hall of Fame manager, Tommy Lasorda. Coaches, Danny Ozark, Monty Baskill, Ron Paranoski, our head trainer, Bill Buehler, and players, pitcher Bobby Castillo, pitcher Bob Welch, outfielder Jay Johnstone, pitcher Steve Howe, and pitcher Joe Beckwith, and our general manager, the man that put this ball club together, Al Campanis. In their memory, if you would be kind enough to join us in a moment of silence. Thank you very much. It is a privilege to be here and celebrate our championship on a year that the Dodgers are celebrating their 2020 World Championship, and go get them again, this guys. This is the year to do it again, repeat. Charlie, back to you.
Thank you, Mo. In the 65-year history of the World Series MVP award, there have been only 2 instances where multiple players have won the award. First time, 1981, where Steve Yeager, Pedro Guerrero and Ron Say were named the first and only Tri-MVP winners. Taking to the field to throw out today's ceremonial first pitch, the 1981 World Series MVPs, Steve Yeager, Ron Say, and Pedro Guerrero. Catching for them will be Justin Turner, Austin Barnes, and Corey Seager.
All right, the Tri-MVPs a few feet in front of the pitcher's mound with Barnes, Seager, and Turner catching. Here it comes. No, well, one bounce from each guy, and obviously Ron Say and Justin Turner, two of the best third basemen in L.A. Dodger history, wearing the same jersey number 10. Austin Barnes caught, of course, catcher Steve Yeager's, and Pedro Guerrero caught by Corey Seager. Just a tremendous ceremony. Charlie Steiner, tremendous job to really relive the moments and the players of that 1981 World Series championship team, and they deserve to be celebrated. And this was such a great moment here at Dodger Stadium. This is what makes the Los Angeles Dodgers and their franchise special. These players, these moments. And we will have more great moments to celebrate as well. We'll send it back to Tim Cates in our studio coming up on the other side. And then we'll have starting lineups and first pitch with Rick Monday and Tim Neverett. Stay where you are. This is the World Champion Dodgers Audio Network.